or one of the accounts of the great triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, Luke chapter 19. We're going to begin our reading at verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, Jesus tells a parable just before this. Because when he had gone into Zechariah's house there in, not Zechariah's, in Zacchaeus' house in Jerusalem, many of the people were offended by it. And Jesus said, "This day is salvation come unto this house." And then we read in verse 11, they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. So Jesus tells the parable there of the talents being given while the owner is gone for a long time, and there's an accounting. Verse 28, and it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do. For all the people were very attentive to hear him. If If we go back also in our Bibles, let's look at Zechariah chapter 9, verses 8 through 10. Here we have a prediction of the king that God would send to save his people. Zechariah chapter 9, beginning at verse 8. And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth. And no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with mine eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto thee, unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. May God bless the reading of his inspired, infallible word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Jesus? John the Baptist, when he was thrown into prison because of his witness against the evil generation, and especially Herod and his adulterous marriage, the disciples of John the Baptist come with Jesus with the question of John the Baptist, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? The kingdom that John was speaking about that is at hand seemed still to be off a ways. He's sitting there in prison, soon to be killed. Is this Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord from heaven? Is he the King of Israel? Who is Jesus of Nazareth? As those two disciples on their way home to Emmaus said, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and the people. Who is this Jesus? What is the kingdom of God that is promised? The main thought in this pericope is that Christ reveals himself as Israel's king. Great joy filled the air, but terrible sadness fills Jesus' heart as he sees these people playing fast and loose with God's word, taking what they like and omitting what they do not understand or do not want to receive. Jesus chooses now to enter into Jerusalem publicly as the King of Israel. If one thinks of this entry of Jerusalem, one has to remember how David would enter into Jerusalem after many of the battles that he would fight against the Philistines. And the women of the town would cry out, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his tens of thousands. It is David who brings peace to the kingdom through those battles so that Solomon, his son, might have a kingdom of peace and prosperity. There are more than one or two times when the Jews wanted to proclaim Jesus as their king. when he fed their bellies with more than they could ever eat. 12 baskets left over bread. They wanted to make him a king. Yes, this is the one who will fill our bellies, defeat the Romans. He will be the kind of king that we want. And you will remember once before, they wanted a king to be like the nations, and God gave them the evil king Saul. Jesus enters in as the Son of David, who will sit upon the throne forever and ever. He reveals himself as Israel's king. And when I say Israel's king, I don't mean merely the Jews of that day, but Israel's king, your and my king. Our Savior, our Deliverer from all of our enemies. So notice with me then a kingly entrance. First of all, a public demonstration. Second of all, a mixed reception. And thirdly, distinguish between the reality and the shadow. A public demonstration. And Jesus here is clearly showing himself in charge of the events. Earlier, the people wanted to make him a king, and no, he doesn't take that kind of kingdom that they want to give him, where he is at the will of the people. He will enter Jerusalem as king at the appointed time, in his own way, by his own declaration. And he enters in Jerusalem to have that kingdom which comes only by way of death on the cross. The crown is not received without suffering beforehand, not for our Lord and not for you and for me. It is through the way of suffering that we enter into glory. In Nazareth, Jesus showed himself to be the prophet as he opened up the scroll of Isaiah and read those verses and said, "Today is this word fulfilled in your hearing." He revealed himself as a prophet by all of his teaching, powerful teaching. Now, on that Palm Sunday, now he's ready to reveal himself as the king. And we're going to see on Friday, still later, that he shows himself as our priest, the one who gives the perfect sacrifice and lays down his life for us. A public demonstration that Sunday morning, brought about by wonderful miracles that he had done. In Bethany, many had heard about, and therefore also Jerusalem, had heard about the raising of Lazarus to life. What a miracle that was. In fact, it was such a powerful miracle of who Jesus was and his power that Jewish leaders even sought to kill Lazarus, remove him. That miracle. And now there was noising about, I wonder if that prophet is going to show himself now at the Passover feast this week. And while Jesus sends his brothers earlier than himself, he comes later for that Passover week. And on his way there to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, he goes through Jerusalem, or Jericho. Goes through Jericho, and there is two blind men, one of them Bartimaeus, crying out to him, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And he gives him sight, and the people marvel at that miracle. While still in Jericho, he passes down by the street, and there's that little man sitting up there in the tree, isn't it, Zacchaeus? And he says, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to abide with you in your house. And that's where that beautiful verse comes. Salvation has come to this house. This man that was lost is saved. What a reputation. This man who is mighty in word and in deed before God and before all people. Curiosity. Suspense. Will he come to Jerusalem this week for the Passover? For they all knew that the Jewish leaders had said that no one may speak the name of Jesus without being thrown out of the temple and out of the places of worship. What a reputation. He comes as a man mighty in word and in deed. But if that's not enough for this public demonstration, Jesus causes an uproar. What is that roar? What is that uproar? The royal confiscation of a man's donkey and the foal of that donkey. A royal confiscation. What does that mean? It means that already Samuel announced, when the people wanted a king, and finally Saul was given as a king, Samuel warns them about these kings that they're going to have. They will take for themselves houses and fields and even servants for their own. And now Christ, the last, the great, the eternal king, comes to his kingdom and he makes use of that right. A royal confiscation. There is a donkey there in Bethpage and the foal of that donkey. Go take them. And if the owners ask, what are you doing? Which of course they would do. Simply saying, the Lord has need of him. Do the owners know this Lord? We don't read that they are his disciples. We don't read of their name. We don't know who they are. But it was enough that he says, the Lord has needed him. Royal confiscation. He is a king and he can do as he pleases, can take whatever he needs for himself. Take him. Take that colt and the foal of it. The Lord has need of it. The citizens as well as the owners must have marveled at this. What is going on here? A royal confiscation, a public demonstration, watching. And there then from the Mount of Olives, Jesus descends. Can you see in your mind the disciples, eager and filled with joy, putting their garments on that foal of the donkey, crying out in jubilation, laying the palms on the pathway going down to Jerusalem, and their garments, moving them once the donkey moved on, putting it again in front of them. On and on they went all the way into the entering of Jerusalem. Here is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zacharias. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, your king comes unto you. Oh, the disciples filled with joy. If you will remember at the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah came down to speak with Jesus about his upcoming suffering, Jesus shines in all of his glory, and Peter, as a spokesman of Peter and John and James, says, shall we set up 3 tents here? Let's abide here on this Mount of Transfiguration. Forget about this suffering that you've been talking about and dying. Let's stay here. And now maybe the disciples think, finally, he's come to his senses. Instead of coming to Jerusalem to suffer and die, he comes there as a mighty king. A different kind of king. Not a steed, that is a horse. Solomon had all kinds of horses in his stalls. No, those horses are taken away. And all the other things of battle. But rather, coming into Jerusalem is the King of Peace. As the angels from heaven sang when Jesus was born, peace on earth, goodwill to men. There coming from Bethany, those who wanted to see Jesus because he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Those from Jerusalem who had heard about all the miracles that were done in Galilee, they come out to see him, a mighty throng. And now is fulfillment of prophecy. So they are singing the words of the prophets. No, they're not singing the words of Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. No, those are not the words they chose. They chose about the King of Peace who comes to his city. A royal, a regal entry. Jesus reveals himself to his people who have been the victims of hirelings. And he comes lovingly and patiently to them. The question is, will you kneel and bow before me, or will you curse me? Read in Luke 19, verse 27. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them now before me. This was a day of visitation, of judgment for Jerusalem. What will they do with a king? What is the purpose of Jesus' royal entry here into the city? Number one, it is revelation of who he is. Just as every time the word of God is opened up and properly preached, there is a revelation of who our Savior is. A revelation of the God of our salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. But the purpose, second of all, is then judgment. A day of visitation. The king comes to the royal city and he is despised and rejected. If thou hadst known, even thou, at the least in this day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And the terrible judgment that will come only some less than 40 years later, when Jerusalem is laid low completely. Thirdly, the purpose of this royal entry is to bring about his own exodus. Yes. Using the words, in fact, in verse 38, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Those words are the same as what the angels sang when Jesus came into this world as a little baby to stand in your and my place. He will accomplish an exodus, where he is taken out of this life by an act of obedience to his Father in heaven. This is the way it has to be placed. No one could lay a hand on him before this. He always escaped them. But now it is time to come. Through the hatred of Jerusalem's leaders and people, he would be put on the cross, willingly dying. Yes, the people shout, save now! And it's exactly the reason that he came to Jerusalem. to save. That's the first point. Second of all, notice the mixed reception. The excitement of the crowd. The disciples thought they knew what Jesus was doing. For so long they wanted Jesus to reveal himself as the King, the Son of God, the Son of glory. The disciples are ecstatic. Perhaps he's not talking about death anymore. The crowds see and they understand what is taking place. He's going to have himself proclaimed as king. No, not proclaimed by the crowd, but proclaiming it himself. Taking the praise that was spoken when he was born. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Peace on earth. That rebellious nature that always strikes against God as it did in our first fathers, Adam and Eve. That hostility against God ended. So that through the death of Jesus Christ, there is now harmony between God and mankind, all those whom he has chosen to save. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest, because all the glory goes to God, doesn't it? This is God's work of salvation. The God who chose us in eternity, the God who sent his Son down to earth, that God now is going to save us through his own Son taking our place, suffering the wrath of God for our sins and guilt. Excitement. Wonderful excitement. But over against that excitement is Jerusalem's hostilityism. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus cries as he weeps over that city. For you see, boys and girls, that not all joined into that praises that was being sung. There were those who were bitter in their hearts. They say to him, Master, tell these crowds to be quiet. We shouldn't have that kind of noise and this kind of triumphal entry. What are you doing? Oh, they hated it that the people were following Jesus. And as Jesus continues to show himself that week in Jerusalem, in the temple, cleansing it, teaching and healing, they want to kill him. We read in verse 47, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Hostility. Why? Because he was usurping their authority and their rule. If this kingdom of grace comes, it would end their kingdom where they had high positions given to them by Rome. Bitter, others silent. Jerusalem and its leaders did not see its true salvation. They did not know that true peace that comes, peace with God. They're thinking in terms of peace over against the Romans who ruled over them. But the peace in heaven is that through faith in God's grace, the city would be destroyed. Destroyed because of their sin and their rejection. The same kind of destruction that comes still today when those who have heard the gospel being preached, raised in the church and then despising the church and leaving the church. It's a day of visitation. Whenever the Word of God is opened up and the question comes, what do you think of the Christ? What do you think of the Christ when He comes in all of His humility and loving care, in His perfect obedience of His Father? What do you think of the Christ when He is ridiculed and hated by the leaders and put on a cross and dies? What do you, what do I think of the Lord Jesus Christ? May it not be that our praises that we sing on Sunday are like the fickle voices on that Palm Sunday. There's the excitement of the crowd, emotions. Not knowledgeable faith, but emotions. Jerusalem's hostility and Rome's apathy and even amusement. What do we see on that Palm Sunday as Rome stands by, does not interrupt it? We see that great image of King Nebuchadnezzar, head of gold, silver, and bronze, and iron, and feet of iron and clay. That great image laughs at this little stone, that little stone that rolls down from heaven, from above, a plain stone. Who worries about that stone? Look, His own people don't want Him. That stone that comes down, the image doesn't fear destruction. What can this little stone, Jesus of Nazareth, do to our rule? The triumphal entry of Jesus is a laughing stock to that image. A conqueror? They have contempt for Him. In fact, even Pilate can have some fun with this, because he is forced finally to give up Jesus for his own safety with the people. He puts on the cross the words, "The King of the Jews." And when they want to take that title down, he says, "What is written is written. Here's your king, Jews. Here's your king." It is always, beloved, a mixed reaction when Christ is revealed. Whether as Christ revealed Himself there in Jerusalem and the triumphal entry, or as He is revealed as He comes to you and to me through His Word. Christ is revealed. There are those who bow down in faith and rejoice, but there are many who laugh or despise Him and turn away from Him. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, rejected, apparently even by God. God has killed His Son there on the cross. We need to look at our faith. What is the nature of our joy as we're singing these beautiful psalms this morning? Is it that of faith? Or is it merely tradition? We know these songs and we sing them just as the crowds knew some of these passages and would quote them. They thought that they would make Him a king. But they did not know the joy of the King Himself. They talk about peace coming, but they don't know about the peace that only comes through suffering death of Jesus Christ in our place. Peace through the cross. What is the nature of our joy? Is it that of faith? Saving faith? The direction of the Holy Spirit so that it's not just emotions, but rather it is understanding by the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God to us. Next Sunday, we will look at those two travelers on the way to Emmaus. From sad hearts to joyful hearts. Why? Our hearts were burning within us when he opened up the scriptures. Is our joy that of a living faith within us, informed by God's word? Jesus comes into Jerusalem as a king in order that he may be put on the cross and suffer and die for us, for that is the only way that he will enter into the joy that is promised to him, where he is made the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will Christ's kingdom prosper? If that kingdom is dependent upon the goodwill of the people, no. Whether it be those filled people when Jesus fed them all, fickle people, or this people that now sing his praises and quote the scriptures and a few days later say, crucify him, crucify us, give us Barabbas. What is this kingdom of a God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven? Listen to the Lord Jesus when he speaks to Pilate and he says, my kingdom is not of this world. It is not of this world in its ideal, not in its method, or not in its ultimate glory. For all the kingdoms of the world are toppled. They are there for a little while and give way to another kingdom. Think a moment of the head and the shoulders, the arms, the body, and the legs of that great image. They're there for only a little while and replaced by another kingdom of man. And all of them are wiped away with the one kingdom of God, which fills the whole earth, the new heavens and the new earth. No, Jesus is not dependent upon the fickle people, but rather he will accomplish his kingdom. He will gather his subjects. He speaks and it is done. He commands and it stands fast. Take that colt, that donkey, and its foal. The Lord has need of him. He speaks as a king. And he will speak as a king several times more there on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He will speak as a king. He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He will speak as a king. It is finished. The battle is over, and therefore there is peace in heaven toward all those who are Christ Jesus. You see, there's such a difference, isn't there? The noise of that triumphal entry. Quantity, it was great, so much that the leaders say, hush, tell them be quiet. But the quantity of their noise does not bring about quality of noise. Joyful, faithful exclamations of Christ Jesus as King. Fickle people, emotions over against intellect. That is knowledge, head and heart, through the scriptures. Of who Christ is, what he does, and what he must do to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He comes there. They're all excited. Is he going to go there to Herod's palace and announce himself as a king? Is he going to get the rabbles around there to anoint him, to make him their king? Instead, he goes there to the temple. What in the world? He goes there to the temple and he upsets the Jewish leaders even more. What kind of a king is that? The heathen are going to be gathered in our text in Zechariah. He will take of his own and bring them in. Yes, the stones are going to cry out in AD 70. And in Pentecost, yes, the salvation will go to the heathen. Listen a moment again to Zechariah's prophecy. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. The Jews despised and rejected him. And when the gospel of the Apostle Paul went first to the synagogues, to the Jews, and they despised the Christ who was preached, it went to the Gentiles. To quote again Zechariah there, he will speak peace unto the heathen. You and I, who were lost in sin, by nature children of wrath, he speaks peace to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. For our iniquity has been taken away. Our guilt has been paid for, taken upon Christ himself, and there is now peace. What is that peace? That you and I can have fellowship with God. Do you rejoice each Sunday when we are able to have this divine discourse together? God speaking to us from his word, and then we're able to sing his word back to him. Pray prayers to him. Give of our gifts. Back and forth. Back and forth. Beautiful dialogue like a man with his wife. For that is what we are. Christ Jesus the King is the bridegroom who is gathering his bride to himself and enjoys her. The cleansing of the temple. What does it show? What does it represent? The cleansing of our hearts, doesn't it? Even as that temple was supposed to be a place of prayer, and he cleansed it, you are my hearts. Horrible, sinful thoughts at times, and the thoughts of the hearts that lead our lives, cleansed through the blood of Christ Jesus. It represents the cleansing of the temple, represents there the church and her cleansing of all of her sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. But more than that, it even pictures the cleansing of the whole world. For he is going to make an entire new creation a temple of God where there is no more sin or guilt. The temple cleansed. And in the cleansing of the world by his sin, the new heavens and the new earth, the praise of all creation will be brought by the lips of men and of angels. A triumphal, a kingly entrance. Notice with me, thirdly, then, the reality and the shadow. We have, on that Palm Sunday, the fulfillment of prophecy. It was all symbolically set forth when David took the Ark of the Covenant, which had come back from the Philistines, and he brought it finally up to Jerusalem. And David, as the king, doing battle against the enemies of God's people, brings victories, and he comes bringing to Jerusalem all the spoils of the battle. And all the other kings that did that battle against enemies of God's people, they're symbols of the great king, the son of David, who has an everlasting kingdom, who by his death on the cross there has defeated all his and our enemies. Sin, Satan, death. Here is the true king, the one who will have an everlasting throne, who brings peace to his people. And all the families of the earth are blessed. That family that is Christ's family, his bride. The hosannas of the crowd were false that particular Sunday morning. They should have been singing, "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. God caused this to come on him in our place." What we have in Jesus coming there to Jerusalem, announced as a king, is a prophecy really of his ascension to the heavenly throne. And it comes by going to the cross. It's an announcement of his entry into your and my hearts, because these hearts would still refuse him also. But triumphantly he comes and he breaks the hardness of his heart, of our hearts, and enters in as our king. And we have in this procession coming into Jerusalem a prophecy of his coming finally into the glory of his kingdom when he comes again. New heavens and new earth. No more warfare, no more sin, no more temptation, no more sickness, no more pain or suffering. Jesus Christ coming. That's the reality. So the picture, the shadow, all the kings that used to come into Jerusalem announcing their victories, even David, here's Christ coming into Jerusalem, announcing his victory, but going to it through the death of the cross. What a shadow and a sign of the glory that still comes. There was weeping that day, weeping at the hardness of hearts of those who were supposed to be the church. Solomon would sit on the throne, but Solomon would sit on that throne, a kingdom of peace and prosperity, only by David, who did the battles of the Lord. And so also Jesus Christ sits on that throne now, but only coming as the king who is going to defeat your and my enemies and his enemies. What a day of joy it was, fickle joy for many. Think of the disciples. They had hope maybe he wouldn't die anymore. But what is remarkable is not the people's shallow praise, but God's word of grace. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through his work, through his zeal, his obedience. That Palm Sunday was a zeal without knowledge. All excited. It was emotions. Jesus would teach them. "No, my kingdom is not going to come immediately." He gives that whole parable of the talents being distributed, because the owner goes away for a long time. But there's going to be an accounting. Jesus Christ enters Jerusalem because that was the determinate foreknowledge and plan of God. He would have a people under the king named Christ Jesus who would be redeemed from all their sins. Wasn't that a wonderful thing when God had his people go down to Egypt for 400 years? Because finally, after that 400 years, they knew about a wonderful deliverance from the land of sin. Picture of Jesus Christ. You and I know our own rebelliousness at times, our sinful hearts. Look at Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he came and laid down his life for us. What is your and my joy this Palm Sunday? Christ established his kingdom to the glory of God and for our salvation. What is our joy? We are made a victor in fellowship with the King Jesus, who goes and wages war on sin and Satan and death, and is victorious. And we have peace with God. All of his people gathered from the various nations of the world stand in his house. Behold the King. Behold your King. Filled with passion for him and for his kingdom. Filled with purity and holiness because of his victory over sin. May you and I say with the prophet, save now. May that be our passion. May that be our vision. It's the vision of John in the book of Revelation. For in the book of Revelation we read, behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True, and hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That was the vision of the Apostle John. He beheld around the throne of the Lamb those adoring saints that no man can number. Our King. A glorious King. Amen. Father, through the revelation of Christ Jesus in thy word, our response is yes, he is the Christ. He is the long promised Messiah. He is the conquering King who now reigns sovereignly in heaven, reigns over the world in his power, but reigns over his church in his grace. Reign on now, O Lord. Continue to gather thy church from the heathen and come in all thy glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.